Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
And listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. And we're going to listen to a clip from the Stephen Gardner interview with a former Democrat, a former black man. And he's done figured some things out, folks, things that we've been talking about for a long time. And so go ahead and take her away, Style.
Hey, the man that I'm going to be interviewing was recently on Tucker Carlson and got the second most views to Donald Trump. He has an incredible message for the United States of America, and I feel blessed to be able to have him on the show. Vince Everett Ellison, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, Stephen, it's so good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we spoke a little bit beforehand, and man, I'm fired up about this. I just know my community is going to love this, and so thank you again for coming on. Now, you have accused the left of working hard to turn the United States into a Marxist America. I want to better understand two things. When you say the left, do you mean the Democrat Party or just left-leaning progressives? And then second, can you give us some examples of how they're trying to make us a Marxist nation?
Well, thank you so much. When I say the left, I mean the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party to me is the evilest organization in the history of the world. It was a party of slavery from 1800 to 1860. It was a party of the Confederacy from 1860 to 1865. It was a party of Jim Crow for 100 years, from 1865 to 1970. Now they're the party of atheism, Marxism, child murder, no borders, drug trafficking, you name it, they do it. They've always been an evil organization. There's never been a time in the history of America where the Democratic Party hadn't had to find a legal way to murder the American people. I mean, through slavery, through abortion, they got to find a way to kill somebody, man, because they're psychopaths. I say in my book that they are a cabal of, that their leadership is nothing more than a cabal of murderers, psychopaths, perverts, and anti-Christian bigots. And all they do is meditate on blood. So when I talk about Marxism, the first tenet of Marxism is like atheism. And of course, you know, the Democratic Party, if you want to try to put prayer in schools, you know what they're going to do, right? They're going to go to court to block it. They're going to vote against it. If you kneel at a football game to protest your government, they'll applaud you. If you kneel at that same football game to pray to Jesus Christ, they want to put you in jail. Any government program, they want to make sure that you cannot praise God in it. I mean, they passed the Equality Act last session. The Equality Act would have made churches give LGBTQ, you know, weddings. If they didn't do it, they would take their tax exemption. They tried to make sure that private Christian schools had to do the same thing, or they were going to take their tax exemption. They want to socialize medicine. They want to control public education of all the children. They want to decide who gets what. They want to decide what car you can drive. They want to decide what stove you can have in your house. They want to decide what foods you can eat. They want to say that they can control the weather. Yeah, they're a bunch of crazy people, and they're Marxists. And we have to do all we can to defeat them.
Yeah, okay. Can you help me understand this? Because I'll be honest, up until a couple of years ago, I thought that the Ku Klux Klan was connected to the Republican Party. And I know that there were Republicans, right? Like there was, you know, racism within every party. But how specifically were they connected? Because I was reading things during the presidential election of what good friendships Joe Biden had with members of the Ku Klux Klan. He's that old. Can you help me understand that better?
Yeah, to give you some context, I was raised in Brownsville, Tennessee. I was born on a cotton plantation. My father was a sharecropper. And the most violent Klan faction in the South was the Tennessee Klan. And its Grand Wizard lived in Brownsville, Tennessee. Matter of fact, he's alive right now, still living in Brownsville, Tennessee, as we speak. I've been chased by these people my whole life. My brothers and I have been chased by them, and my father my whole life. They killed my great-grandfather, shot him in the chest, killed him. They ran my father and my grandfather off of the cotton plantation in 1960 when my grandfather, when he registered to vote. So yeah, I know all about the Ku Klux Klan. They came about after the Civil War. Matter of fact, they started in Tennessee. The Confederate general by the name of Nathan Bedford Forrest started the first Klan faction in Pulaski, Tennessee in 1866. And they started it because black slaves were free and they wanted to keep them under control. So they knew that black people had these superstitions about ghosts. So they put on these masks and put them on their horses and they would ride out to whatever black person was trying to do anything in politics, and they would scare them and they would beat them, they would kill them, they'd hang them, they'd castrate them. And that was how they kept black people under control in the South, and they were part of the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party and the Confederacy was one and the same. So when the Confederacy lost, the Democratic Party still controlled everybody down South, and they wanted to keep control because the black slave was now, because at the end of the Civil War, they had disenfranchised most of the old white Confederates. So the black slave was given the right to vote and own property, and they wanted to make sure that they kept him subjugated. So even now, when you look at the black community and you see that the Democratic Party still wants to just disarm them inside of Chicago and in Detroit and in Memphis, wherever you go, it's because of that same concept. They got to keep black people under control. They want to keep the public educational system under government control so the black people can't get an education. They want to destroy the black family so the black man can't protect his wife and his children. They want to make sure that they bring the fentanyl and the drugs in so they can keep the people completely inebriated and under their control. And whatever they do, they win. John F. Kennedy said, in the 1960s, if you want to talk about communism, he stood in front of the Berlin Wall. He said, if those who want to talk about communism, talk about how good it is, let them come to Berlin. Well, I said, if you want to talk about the Democratic Party, how good it is, let them come to Detroit. Let them come to Chicago. Let them come to L.A. Let them come to Memphis, say Seattle, Portland. Whatever they rule, it's nothing but graffiti, crime, hatred, dope, fighting, and crime. And they win. And they're not going to stop it because that's how they win.
So then why do these same communities turn around and vote for the same people over and over?
Stockholm syndrome. It's Stockholm syndrome. Whenever you take a people and you demoralize them and beat them down, tell them that they're nothing. Have that. My first book was on the Iron Triangle. I worked as a prison officer and I saw all these black men coming to a prison. And I asked the black intelligentsia, I said, why are all these young black men coming to jail? I thought we'd overcome. Well, of course, the old refrain was, when evil, rich, white Republicans, they hate black people. Well, I was naive, and I said, really? So I quit my job in the prison, started working down, and I went into the black ghettos and started a nonprofit. And when I got there, I saw something very, very interesting. I saw no rich, white Republicans anywhere. You see a leprechaun before you saw one. But what I did see, a lot of black Democrats make a lot of money off of the chaos. And I call them the Iron Triangle. That was my first book. Most black preachers, most black politicians, and most black civil rights workers. And they were conduits between rich white liberals in the Democratic Party and the poor black people living inside the ghettos. And their job was to make sure that black people voted for the Democratic Party by hook or by crook. It was people like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, NAACP, SELC, James Clyburn, Maxine Waters. Yeah, they care nothing about black people, man. They care about their own selves. They were the iPod version of the house Negro back during slavery times, who stayed in the big house with the master and made sure that the slaves stayed in line. It's the same thing. They are the same party under different management, using different slogans and different words, but the result is the same. Keep black people poor, ignorant, under control, and supporting the Democrat Party, and they do it well.
Yeah, wow, okay. Speaking of this Iron Triangle idea you just mentioned, I've been following the mayor of Chicago.
Yeah.
And he just recently did this rally, and in his speech at the rally, he says, "We're going to take even more of your tax money to help illegal immigrants be comfortable in Chicago." And they booed him, boo, boo, boo. And he's like, nah, whatever. Why do some of these people use our hard-earned tax money to do more for people that snuck in the country than the hardworking Americans right in their own community?
Brother, this is a great replacement theory. Look, and they didn't hide it for a very long time. The one enemy that all of these leftists have is the WASP, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. They hate him. He has always been their enemy. Whether you are LGBTQ, whether you are a Marxist, whether you are a hippie, a dopehead, a communist, an atheist, you all have one common enemy. And all these people make up the Democrat Party. The white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, they say, is our common enemy. We must all come together to defeat him. So the one thing they want to do is get rid of most white people here in America. And I say it loud. And they're going to do it by having illegals come over here and taking up all the space and having children. Because right now, they're so convinced white people in America that abortion is a right, that we don't even replace each other anymore. I think that the latest polls show that our birth rate is at 1.6. To just replace who we have to have at least 2.0. But it's at 1.6. The nation is dying. And what did they say about abortion? Full speed ahead. More of it. More birth control. And then they say, and let the illegals come in. And I'm amazed that white America doesn't see it or don't care about it. Because their main goal is to replace y'all, take you out. And then once you probably get to a certain number, they're probably going to try to kill all of you too. So you better get ready for it.
Well, I think the white community is told that's a crazy conspiracy theory put forward by Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
You know, he's pushing this replacement theory idea, and he's crazy.
How can they call it a theory when Joe Biden let 8 million illegals come over the border since he's been president? How can they call it a theory when they're giving free abortion? And if a state doesn't allow you to have an abortion, they'll give you free airfare to go to another state to have an abortion. How can they call it a theory when before Obamacare, you couldn't use government funding for abortion? But now after Obamacare, you can use government funding in Medicaid to get abortion and get birth control. How can they call it a theory when they are pushing this LGBTQ thing where the children under the age of 25 years old, about 25% of them say that they're gay? And gay people don't have children. Yeah. America's dying in real time. And they want to call it a conspiracy theory when you look at the statistics and they say that you don't ever come back from this death spiral. Hell, man, this is real. Western Europe is dying. Vladimir Putin recognized it and said, we're going to put a stop to this. And they're trying to take him out for it. This is real. And the great replacement theory is on. And just like the Europeans had a great replacement theory when it came to the Native Americans, and it took place, yeah, it's coming back in the same exact way. Illegal immigration across the border, and then they're going to start killing white people, and they're going to start teaching, and they're teaching you also to kill yourselves. And all I can do is ring the alarm and tell you.
Yeah, wow. Oof. Okay. Last night, Mayor.
All righty, there you go. Well, what do you think, Joe?
There's a truth teller. He summed up in a very short period stuff that we've been talking about for 30 plus years.
He's figured it out, hasn't he?
He has. But he quoted history. We've talked about that real history of Ku Klux Klan, how they were the ones who were the beating, killing, you know, maiming the blacks and keeping them down, and all through the Democratic Party has lied, deceived. It's been nothing but, a group of communists trying to gain power. And instead of a real free nation where we have the right to live as we choose, and, you know, no, they want the government to make all the decisions for the people. They want to be able to tell everyone how to live, how to breathe, what to do, what to buy. Like he said, he just gave a big attack of truth that I hope people are listening.
All right, I do too. Here's an article. School fires a white Christian principal. Now all hell breaks loose. And this is an article for World News Daily. And educator accused of implicit bias and failure to promote safety and equality. A federal judge has advanced a lawsuit against a school in Weld County, Colorado, by a principal who was dismissed an apparent case of religious-based retaliation. The decision means former principal Brian Littlefield now can pursue his charges against the district. I hope he sues them for everything they've got. And his former superintendent, Leslie Arnold, according to a report in the lobby. Littlefield charges that his 2021 termination from Roosevelt High School was prompted by discrimination, targeted campaign by school officials. He claims that his status as a Christian and as a white man played a role in the decision to fire him, the report said. The ruling came from District Judge Philip Brimmer, who said Littlefield's allegation raised sufficient evidence about Arnold's actions. After Littlefield spoke to the Christian student group, Arnold amended his previously satisfactory performance evaluation to include negative remarks, including accusations of insubordination, implicit bias, and failure to promote safety and equity. Equity, there you go. That's the word.
Equity. Equal outcomes, not equal opportunities. And then he was even at a meeting where the assistant superintendent, Kara Anderson, scolded him over his white privilege. So there you have it. This is what the gentleman was just talking about. We're seeing it all over Europe. We're seeing it everywhere. They're using race to divide, create hatred, fear, mistrust, and they are trying to bring down the white conservatives, because we are the ones who are holding mostly to what? The Christian religion, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, which are the Ten Commandments and his teachings, and that is anti what, you know, the Antichrist system hates Christ and what he stands for. And that's, it's a spiritual battle underneath. It's always a spiritual battle. When you peel away the onion, you get down and see under the skin. It's all about the Antichrist system trying to destroy Christ and his children, his followers.
Do you see what's happening? Some of these South American countries are going back to conservatism. They're going back to capitalism. Here
in Europe, the Dutch had a conservative, just was elected. Gert Wilders was elected. He's been fighting the battle for years, and he finally now is in control.
If there's any way, I mean, that we're going to have, and I mean, people are after it, the communists are going to have a much harder time, you know, with the election fraud. You know, it's in their blood. They have to do election fraud. That, you know, a Democrat, where it comes to election fraud, is, you know, and abortion and sodomy and pedophilia, you know, it's just like there to all of those things, to election fraud, as we often say, is what Elvis was to rock and roll and Muhammad Ali to boxing. They're the best when it comes to criminal activity.
Well, they can't win. If you look at the issues, the American people don't want this mass illegal immigration. They're trying to call these people, you know, other names. They're illegal aliens, illegal immigrants. The people are against it. The people do not like this government spending. They don't like the high inflation. They, you know, I could go down list after list after list that people don't like. They don't like how they're threatening to take away our big brother, the government. The National Transportation and Safety wants to put an intelligent speed assistance tech in all cars. And it can control your, so help you with your safe and legal speeds and warn you if you're speeding, make it very difficult, but not quite impossible to increase the speed. And they're going on and on about how wonderful. They also want to put in a kill switch in all cars that would allow government officials to automatically disable a vehicle under certain government-controlled circumstances. Yeah, so they want to control everything.
Oh, absolutely. This is, again, it's pure communism. And now they have AI to do it.
Yeah, but we'll help them. But here's the good news. Right now we're fighting the Bidens and their corruption. And we found out a while back that Joe Biden had different email accounts, private email accounts, burner accounts, where he was using aliases and stuff like this. Well, they had found 82,000 pages of documents using these fake email accounts. Well, the trouble is only just a less than 1% has gone to the congressional people who are investigating, and the National Archives is slow walking. They're only releasing about 500 pages a month, and they're only releasing things that really aren't important. And at that rate, it could take years to get down to the real things. But the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project filed a special Freedom of Information Act, and the National Archives just revealed to Heritage through this narrowly targeted Freedom of Information that it does have 731 documents relevant to the creation of all these alias email accounts and who authorized their use, who controlled them, authorized their use, and that could be, you know, handled in a month or less and give the oversight committees that are investigating Biden's corruption, well, the information it would need to provide the name of witnesses that Congress should call and give them all kinds of things so they could start going after people and subpoena records and other things. So we owe the Heritage Foundation a big vote of thanks. They outsmarted them, put in a special FIOA request, and has specifically targeted, and it looks like now the good guys are going to get some truth here in the next few weeks.
Well, yeah, it's about time, like I said, that we get something, but we have to go after it. We got to continue fighting with everything we have. Let's do this. Let's take some calls. Let's open the phone lines early tonight and take some calls. So,
all righty.
The phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Phone lines are open if you have a question or a comment pertaining to basically what we're talking about here tonight. So give us a call. Meanwhile,
the corruption of our government is pretty much the topic, isn't it?
Well, we don't really have a government anymore, Joe.
Well, it's
not our government. It's
no
longer government of the people, by the people, for the people.
Take over.
It's government oppressing the people. It's corruption. And again, we're seeing here how, you know, when you talk about January 6th, these people are lying under oath. You see that Mariokas. You know, this guy's unbelievable how he will sit there and look and continually say the border's secure. He'll sit there because that's what he's told to do. He sat out there and said, look, you're going to get out there. You're the whipping boy. They're going to beat on you. That's your job. You'll get highly, highly compensated. And, you know, just go up there and let them beat on you. And the Republicans, because we don't have a Justice Department, because we have the most corrupt attorney general in the history of the country in there. They put him in there, and boy, I'm going to tell you, this is why we have to get Trump back in office. This is why they're so afraid of Trump. Again, we continue.
Well, right on that. You know, they're trying to call Hunter Biden to come testify with the committee behind closed doors, and he's screaming, that's not fair, it's not right. But look at January 6th committee. What did they do? They didn't have open public hearings. They didn't have it open where it was being televised. Everything was behind closed doors. We weren't aware of what was going on, didn't have any information. And now when the shoe's on the other foot, when they want to talk to Hunter Biden, you can't have closed-door hearings. They're unconstitutional. They're illegal, immoral, fattening, you name it. We can't have it. It's just amazing how they talk out of both sides of their mouth and say, you know, totally diametrically opposed statements with a straight face.
All right, who do we have there? Okay, AC, you're in there. Go ahead.
Hello, pastors.
Hey, AC.
Pastor Sanders, in your Sunday message, and you talked about this person last week, too, some woman who you know or came in contact with you. You talked Sunday night. You said this woman's come to you, and she's criticizing you for taking the position of a pre-tribulation rapture. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's happening more and more. We're getting more and more of that. And
okay. Well, Jesus has the answer. And if you go over to Matthew 24, there's a little parable there right at the end, the parable of two servants. And they're actually servant pastors, actually, because they have the rule over who they have the rule over the people that are under them. Now, in verse 48, look at what it says here. It says, but and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. Think about this. All these post-tribbers, mid-tribbers, and pre-wrathers, what are they saying? That the Lord Jesus is going to delay his coming until after the appearance of the Antichrist. The post-tribbers are saying he's going to delay his coming for 7 years. The mid-tribbers say 3.5 years, and the pre-wrathers claim he's going to delay his coming until the event they claim, the wrath of God, switches over from the wrath of man to the wrath of God. The whole tribulation period is the wrath of God.
Well, not only that, AC, but the preterists say it already took place in 70 A.D., and so,
I'm the king of Siam too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
Now, look at these people. The Lord deals with these people. Okay, and you know, it says also in further back Matthew 24 verse 38, it says, "For as in the days that were, was it during the flood, about the days of Noah?" No, it says, for as in the days that were before the flood. There's your pre-tribulation rapture analogy right there.
Absolutely. You got it.
These people are, they don't want to look at the scriptures for what the scriptures say. And what bothers me is, and I've had this happen to me, okay? I've had it happen to me. And what are they doing? They're smiting people like you and I who are holding to a pre-tribulation rapture doctrinal position. They're smiting us, okay? And it says, and to eat and drink with the drunken. Well, they're eating spoiled doctrinal meat, and they're drinking with those that are drunk on their own opinions of a post-trib rapture or a mid-trib rapture or a pre-wrath rapture, which Jesus never, ever taught. Never.
Well, you know, here's what they're doing. They know what they want to believe, and so they take what they want to believe, and they try to twist or spin the scripture to fit into the context of what they want to say. But, you know, it's like, look, how many years have you listened to us on this radio program?
Number of years.
Now, how many times have we told you that the Bible makes it very clear, the Lord Jesus says that we will have tribulation. The church will have tribulation. Now, there's a difference between the wrath of God and tribulation, okay?
Right.
The persecution, right now, the persecution is greater against the church in the world than it's ever been right now. A lot of people don't realize that, okay?
Right.
We see what's happening, and we've been talking about that. But how these people can listen to me and then take and twist what I'm saying, have I ever said, look, we don't have to do anything, don't worry about it, everything's okay because we'll be raptured out of here, so we don't have to worry about it? No. I don't know of anybody who is trying to exhort people to action more than we have here.
Well, we've been talking the cultural Marxists. Remember, words were going to be the weapon of this new warfare, changing and shifting words and meanings. And, you know, they would change the entire debate. They would change the basis of everything. And that's what they're doing, taking the words of God and the words that we preach and turning them around and shifting, changing it, saying it means something different than what God said it meant. So
it's the language of illusion, confusion, and delusion. Yep.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
That's why Jesus said that his words would not pass away. Where? Matthew 24, verse 35.
Forever.
Promise.
Absolutely. Speaking of words, we'll be back after this.
Now the end is near. If you're not saved, then you're hurting. It's him that you should fear, and that's the truth, I know for certain. He gave me life that's eternal. He kept me from going astray. He's God, and this I know, he did it his way. Regrets, he's had none, not even one that I can mention. He saved you and I. He brought us through without exemption. He planned each charted course, a guiding light along the pathway. For sure, not more or less, he did it his way. Throughout ancient times, I know it's true. There was never anything that he couldn't do. My faith in him, never was any doubt. What he said, he carried out. All in all, as I recall, he did his way. He lived, he suffered and died, but he arose in power and glory. In him, I now abide. For history is just his story. His word is where life's at. And may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, no, not me. He did it his way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not his reward, then he has not. A broken heart, he can heal. And in his word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it his way. A broken heart, he can heal. And in his word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it. his way.
Yeah, he did it his way. He gets it right every time. And folks out there, I got to tell you, the good Lord knows what he's doing. And I just recently, one of these AI so-called scientists, this brilliant mind, said, finally, he said, through AI, we're going to see results that we can see. There'll be something there that we can see that's real. Now, you have to be a complete fool to walk out, look at the mountains, look at the oceans, look at the sunsets, and say, well, now we're going to have something we can see. What in the world is all of that? You know, it's an amazing thing.
We need something artificial to tell us what's real, right?
Absolutely.
That's an oxymoron right there.
There you go. Let's go to New York and Anton. Anton, you're in the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, is this Ernie Sanders?
Yeah, it is.
Hi, I just wanted to call and say thank you for all the work that you've done for Medicare for All, for Fight for 15. You know, I used to live in Deakin, Vermont, so I got to vote for you back in, I think it was 08. It was a great time. I'm glad that you're representing, and you know, I hope that you keep up the fight.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for all that you've done. And, you know, look, to be honest, there aren't a lot of, you know, I grew up Jewish and there aren't a lot of Jewish senators. And it's good to have somebody of the faith in the Senate these days. So I just wanted to call and say thank you so much for that.
All right. Thanks for those kind words, Anton. All right. There you go. Old Bernie is back in the news out there, isn't he? He's back out there, you know, and the most anti-Semitic people that you'll ever meet are apostate Jews. They are the most anti-Semitic, are the apostate Jews.
George Soros, yeah, number one probably on the list.
Yep, well, I know several very anti-Jewish people, and they're all Jewish. Let's go to Tim. Timothy, you're in the air.
Yes, good evening, Pastor Joe and Pastor Ernie.
Hey, Tim.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that, you know, every day that we're seeing their playbook play out, they have all their manifestos, the Communist Manifesto and all the other books that they promote, that promotes, you know, atheist and homosexuality and all the stuff that they have. We only have one playbook. And it's the absolute truth. It's the only thing that humans know is absolute truth. That's the King James Bible. So as long as you have that, you hold on to that tightly and read it and meditate on it daily. And, you know, the Joshua 24:15 every day, as long as you are knowing who you're serving and you know that nothing comes back void when you read that book, it's ever more apparent now to pray and stand on the verses in there, especially the ones where Solomon was asking for more wisdom and more discernment. Is that that's what we need every day? Is that we, as we're in the fight, that we ask, pray for wisdom, pray for discernment, each of us individually, and then pray that our leaders, that are righteous leaders, such as, you know, we've mentioned them before, the Tucker Carlson and the Josh Hawley and the, if you, you know, God knows the heart of Ted Cruz and all these other people. We ask that they be sanctified as well. If they are believers and they put Jesus first in their life, that if they're servants of the American people, then we want to pray for their wisdom as well as their discernment and put blessings over their family, that their families are protected and they can prosper. Because as long as they're going to be serving, that we need to they need to gird their loins as well. And if we are banding in this together and we're praying for the leaders that we know are going to serve God first, not man, and then also uphold the things that the American constituents hold near and dear, and I believe that then we truly are joined as one for righteousness' sake and for patriotism. And so that is the daunting task that we have in front of us in a little over 400 and some odd days to get this to the finish line come January 20th, 2025, where it's going to be civil war, probably ASAP. It's going to be civil war or we take over.
I hear you, Timmy. All right, actually, it's till next November, okay. Right.
Well, yeah, we get the job done in November, but it's official in January of 25 that we're going to actually be able to do something. We also need to rid the Republican Party that includes Ronna McDaniel and all the other people that are holding us back from the Republican Party as it was started back in 1860. And we know in 1828, when the Democratic Party started, they have been nothing but exactly what they were in 1828. They've gotten progressively worse, but they definitely have not gotten better.
I hear you.
Progressively worse from 1828 up until now.
Mitch McConnell
along the way for those that are willing to look.
Mitch McConnell is one of those that you're referring to. But I got to move on. The whole thing is lit up. Let's go to Jack. Jack, you're in the air.
Well, you know, this is an interesting time because recruitments are down in the military. And if things don't change, Biden will be forced to go to a draft. You do not want President Biden to be the commander-in-chief and have the fate of your child in his hands. So how do you avoid this? It's very simple. When your son turns 18, do not have him sign up for the Selective Service System. Once you do that, you just volunteered for the draft, and it makes it constitutional. There is no repercussions for not signing up for the Selective Service System when your child turns 18. He is, by declaration, he is not volunteering for the military. If they didn't do it that way, you would be in violation of the 13th Amendment, which is involuntary servitude.
So there's some government benefits you might lose, but that's all. There's no penalty other than there are certain government benefits you can't partake of, and most of them, most of us didn't want them anyway.
What would you prefer, the benefits or your life? Or have your body maimed for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but you know what, Jack? It's not that complicated, Jack. Jack, look, all you have to do is say your son's name is Jack, and he gets a notice. Well, they're told to go register. Well, he waits until he has one of his female days. He registers as Jacqueline, and then the next day he's back to Jack. Okay. So it's Jacqueline, not Jack. And so the only way they can draft him is when he's having one of those off days where he's a female again. I mean, is this not what they're promoting for the...
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Well, look, you know, the old saying about the more things change, the more they remain the same.
Yeah.
It's no different than when I was protesting the war in Vietnam. I wasn't going to go to that. And I went through all these different procedures for trying to get different deferments. I ended up going to college. I got a student deferment. I didn't fight in that bogus war. I'm proud of that. And I'm telling people today, you do not want your children to have Joe Biden as your commander-in-chief. Do not have them sign up for the Selective Service System when they turn 18. Because I went down that road personally. And what the attorneys for the Valley Peace Center told me was, look, you signed up for the Selective Service System when you turned 18. Guess what? You just volunteered for the draft. Had you not done that, you would have had a case, and they would not have been able to draft you. So take it for what it's worth. Somebody that's been there, done that. Here it is again. Nothing has changed. They want to take your children. And they want to kill him.
I hear you. Got to move on. Let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah. If you look at James G. chapter 5, I think it's verse 4, it uses the word last days. Now, I could say that could apply to a furtherance of chapter 4 where it says, if God wants, we'll live and do this or that, and that's what we should say. Or it could apply to these rich people that seem to think they're immortal. Well, what's your thoughts on that verse, the application of last days in James chapter 5?
James chapter 5, okay, what verse is it?
I think it's 4. I thought it was 4.
Behold, the hire of the laborers. Oh, no, what he's referring to for their he's referring to their retirement. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down their fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. Oh, boy, if that's not what's happening today. Crieth, and the cries of them that have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Well, no, verse 3. Okay, where he says, your gold and your silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be witness against you. You shall eat your flesh as you are fire. You have heaped treasures together for that your last days. That's their retirement. This is
okay. Right.
So,
okay. So specifically, it's their retirement, and they think they're going to retire in luxury, basically.
Right. Yeah. Their riches were all put away. The rich, they didn't share any of the blessings they have. They didn't tithe. They squandered it all away. And he's saying it isn't going to do them much good when it's cankered and. Things, gold and silver can be cankered and rust.
It's like the rich man who said, you know, I've got such an abundance of wheat and grain. When there was a need, there were hungry people, he could have shared that with. He said, nope, I'm going to build more silos and wait till the price goes up. And then the Lord told him, well, you know, I'm sorry about that, fool, but tonight your soul will be required of you. Somebody else is going to get all of your wealth. They're going to get all your grains. So there you go.
Well, I was thinking of that incident with David where he was had that run-in with the rich guy that didn't want to share the food.
Yeah.
And that was a case of hoarding his wealth, you know.
Yeah, well, he was, first of all, he made a number of errors. The very fact that David's men, when David and his men were there, that kept the locals, the countrymen, safe from the Philistines and others. So this guy, instead of thanking David and his men for being there, he was too greedy. And he made the mistake. He you know, he said no to the wrong guy, and then and the way he mistreated his own wife, and so the Lord took him out himself. We have to move on. Pastor Hal, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, how much? Hello, my friend.
Hey, how much time do we?
Joe?
I got both Larsons. How much time do we have there?
A little more than 5.
Okay, Hal, you got 5. 5 minutes. Can you do her?
Sure. You know, I was just going to say the Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. At one time, America was one of the most exalted nation in the world because it lived by the Ten Commandments and stood on God's word, the King James Bible. But now we have the devil's crowd running everything. And we've never been more reproached because of sin than we are right now, and it's getting worse every day. But the righteous should shine as bright and strong as we possibly can. Ephesians chapter 6 says for us to stand and, you know, have our breastplates of righteousness on and be armed with, you know, with the sword of the Spirit. And this is where we ought to be as Christians. And I was joking with the pastor the other day. I said, it seems you can't get on the air without making anybody mad at you.
And that's you're right.
Good. That's good, because if you're not moving, you're not causing any friction, especially with the devil's crowd. And we as Christians, you know, they said the Apostle Paul is a pestilent fellow, and that meant, you know, he was causing trouble among the unsaved people that wanted him to compromise and just go along with their sins. But you guys were talking about the rapture, and I thought it was interesting where God told Noah to come in, Lot to come out, and the church to come up. And in Revelation 4:2, 1 and 2, church is caught up. And then you have Revelation 6 where the Antichrist shows up. And then from Revelation 6 to 19, you have the tribulation taking place down here on earth and the marriage supper of the Lamb and the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb taking place up in heaven at the same time. And then in Revelation 19, the bride of Christ, the church, that's us, comes back with Jesus at Jerusalem and wipes out the Antichrist. So you definitely have a pre-trib rapture, and it's outlined perfectly for you right there in Revelation. But the rapture is the very next thing that's going to happen, and if it happens and you're not ready, that means you're going to go through a horrible time, more horrible than this earth has ever seen. And you don't want to do that, you know. And so the way to be ready, the Bible tells you, is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, he said in John 14:6. In John 3:3, he told Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Being born again means you were born the first time physically, or you wouldn't be hearing my voice right now. Second time spiritually, and that's when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you from your sins. You see, when Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. God allowed Jesus to transfer your sin and your guilt upon his Son. And when Jesus said it is finished, that meant all the work necessary for you to go to heaven has been done. All you got to do now is by faith repent of your sins. That means let God know that you're sorry about the fact you're a sinner and mean it with all your heart and ask Jesus to come into your heart and give you the payment he paid for you, and he'll do it. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means you. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul and you call upon him, your soul will be saved right then and there. It's not some future thing. It happens right then and there. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says it's a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to be walking around heaven patting himself on the back and saying, I got here because I was a good person, a good Catholic or Baptist or Methodist. They're going to be giving Jesus Christ all the praise for getting them there because they received him as their Savior.
And
They won their good works. Now listen, if you want Jesus to come into your heart and save you, you can ask him to come into your heart right now because he hears me talking to you. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, or in other words, hear my word, and open the door, I will come in. And folks, it's when you open the door of your heart to Jesus Christ that he comes in. And so if you'd like to pray that prayer, let me lead you in a simple prayer of faith. And even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God. Open the door of your heart, ask Jesus to come in, and depend on him and him only for your salvation, for nobody else can save you. Muhammad can't, the Hindu gods can't, nobody can save you, because God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He wasn't in the world, God wasn't in these phony balonies out here trying to get you to follow some dead-end religion. He's asking you to follow Jesus, because Jesus is the only one that loved you and died for you and paid your payment for your sins. So let's pray that prayer. Dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I confess unto you I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And I believe you died on that cross, Lord Jesus, and paid the payment in full for every sin I've ever done. And I right now ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you right now, Lord Jesus, to take your precious blood, because the Bible...
Keep fighting the fight!
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like,
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.